I am so excited that you're here. I'm glad you made it because we are continuing our series that we kicked off last week called Finding Your Way Back to God. You know, that's what it's all about. That's the heartbeat of redemption. That's why we started this church. We're all about helping people find their way back to God, helping people grow in their relationship with God and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I'm so glad you're here. I know we have people here from all different backgrounds. I know some of you, you're coming back to church for the first time in a long time. And some of you have literally found your way back to God through this church, through redemption. You've made this your home church. I know some of you are kind of just exploring spirituality, kind of checking, faith out, and maybe a friend invited you here today, or maybe you got our flyer in the mail, or maybe you just saw free coffee and donuts at the movie theater one Sunday, and you said, let me go check that out, and we just grabbed you and pulled you in here. But either way, you got here, and I think what we all have in common is we all have this longing for meaning and for purpose and for love and significance in our lives. And so I think that's the great equalizer. That's no matter where you are in your journey of faith, no matter whether you'd consider yourself a committed Christian or not, I think we all kind of have that in common. And here's what I want to say to you today. This series is for you no matter where you are in your journey. Whether you consider yourself to be a committed Christian or maybe you're not even sure what you believe, we all need this series because here's the thing. Finding your way back to God is a life-changing moment, and some of you have experienced that. Some of you have found your way to God, a relationship with Him, and it's changed everything. But it's not only a life-changing moment, something that happened once. It's something that's it's an ongoing life-changing process. How many of you know that's true? We have to keep finding our way back to God. We have to keep coming back to this place where God is the center of our lives and the source of purpose and meaning. And so this series is for all of us, and I really want to encourage you to be here for the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at these five different awakenings that we experienced. Last week, we talked about the awakening to longing, this longing that we have for meaning and purpose. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But today, we're going to talk about the awakening to regret, this sense of regret. And here's what the series is about. If we will tune into these awakenings and if we will respond, these longings and these awakenings that we experience can actually lead us to coming to know God and finding our way back to God. Have any of you guys ever seen the show Breaking Amish? You ever seen that reality show before? It's about a bunch of Amish who go to the big city. I think it came out, the first season was back in 2012. I really haven't watched it since, but I watched a few episodes for that first season. And the show is all about these Amish kids who leave Amish country to go to New York City to experience big city life and to kind of see what else is out there. So they leave, they've left these very sheltered, traditional Amish lifestyles, and they go to the big city. And as you can imagine, they get into all kinds of trouble, right? There's partying and drinking and sex and just crazy stuff that happens. But that show is a modern retelling of something in the Amish community called Rumspringa. Have you ever heard of that term before? Come on, we're going to have some fun this morning. Everybody say Rumspringa. Rumspringa. All right, that's pretty good. I'm impressed with you guys. Now, if you're not familiar with this term literally means running around. And it's an Amish term for allowing young people to sow their wild oats, as they say. What happens is in certain Amish communities, not every Amish community practices this, but in certain Amish communities, young people, teenagers from ages 14 to about 16, are allowed to leave the Amish community on the weekends and go explore the outside world. If you know anything about the Amish, they're a very closed community, closed off from the rest of the world. But in certain communities, they allow the young people to leave and go explore the outside world, and sometimes it leads to a lot of trouble and a lot of partying and a lot of crazy and wild things happen. But here's the deal. It's all about letting young people experience the outside world because they have to make a choice. They have to come back and decide if they want to come back to the Amish community and be baptized and really commit to the Amish community and own their decision, or they can decide that if they've enjoyed the outside world and they want to live that life, they can leave the Amish community, most likely never to return. Now, I would guess today we probably don't have many Amish folks in here. I didn't see too many people with long beards and you know, the hats on today. But I think many of us have experienced our own version of the Rumspringa. We just have different names for it. For some of you, your Rumspringa was your freshman year of college. You got away from your parents for the first time and had some freedom. Come on, how many of you had a Rumspringa your freshman year of college? We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting this morning and just get really honest. For some of you, your Rumspringa was spring break. right? You were out there, you were doing some things and experiencing some things that maybe you regret now, but it was your rumspringa. Some of you, your rumspringa was like your middle-aged crisis. You had I bought a Harley without asking my wife springa. Come on. That was your rumspringa. And some of you are maybe on a rumspringa of sorts even now. You're running around, you're experimenting a little bit here and there. You're kind of pursuing some of these longings that are in your heart, and you're checking some things out. Well, last week we looked at a story that Jesus told, the story of the lost son or the prodigal son. You may know it that way. One of the greatest stories, really, not just in the Bible, but all of world literature, probably the greatest short story in Western civilization that has changed people's lives and continues to change people's lives. This beautiful picture of God's grace and his love. But we read about a young man who had his own rumspringa. He left home. He asked his dad for his inheritance and he cashed it in. He consolidated his debts and he went out and partied hard and experienced what there was to experience out there. He went to the big city and partied it up hard because he had this longing in his heart. And lest we make him the bad guy and just distance ourselves because he was this young punk who ran away from home and got in trouble and blew the family fortune, what we talked about last week is we all have something in common with the son in the story. And that is this longing that he had, this awakening that he had to this longing that there's got to be something more out there. You know, the prodigal son, one day he was on the family farm and he said, you know, there's got to be more to life than just getting up, eating, working, watching Netflix, sleeping and going to sleep and getting up and doing it all over again, right? There's got to be something more. And I want to know what's out there. I want to explore the world. I want to have these experiences that I'm not having here. And so he left home and he ran around and he got into a lot of trouble. But yet we also experience these same longings. And here's the thing. It's not that the longings themselves are necessarily bad. The longing for meaning and for purpose and love and to experience some of these thrills that are out there. In fact, I believe God put some of those longings inside of us and they can lead us back to him. The problem is in pursuing these longings, we often go on a journey that takes us away from God, unfortunately. Instead of going to the source of meaning and purpose and love, which we as Christians believe God is the source of those longings. He's the only thing that can satisfy those longings because he's our creator. He made us. Many times we journey away from God and we get into destructive habits and lifestyles and things that cause us to come to a place of regret. They cause us to sometimes make decisions that we thought we would never make. And inevitably we find ourselves at this place of saying, oh, I wish I could start over. Come on, have you ever been there before? You ever wish you could press the reset button? You ever wish you could rewind your life and go back and make some different decisions? Maybe there's some years, maybe there's some chapters of your life, maybe there's some relationships that you wish you could just go back and change and start all over. And I think most of us have experienced that at some point in time in our lives, maybe different scales, maybe to different levels. But I think most of us have at times in our life come to this place where we had this sense of regret. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the awakening that comes when we awaken to that sense of regret. And we're going to talk about what to do about that today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. If you have your smartphone or your tablet, you can look it up. Or if you have your Bible, Luke is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third gospel. Luke chapter 15. We're going to go back to the story that we've been looking at. You heard the different people read it in the video before, the story of the lost son. Flip over that way. Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at verses 11 through 18. I'm reading from the NIV today. And there's two particular verses I want to key on, but we're going to back up and go to the beginning of the story. Each week, we're going to be looking at a different portion of this story. And each week's going to kind of build on top of the previous week. So I want to refresh your memory if you haven't heard this story in a while. Or if you were here last week, we're just going to kind of bring you right back up to the point where we were. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 18, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Now stop right there. This was an unheard of request in the ancient Near East. A younger son going to his father saying, "I want my share of the inheritance before you die." This was basically his way of saying to his dad, "Listen, Dad, there's some things I want to do in life. I want to get out and explore the world. I don't have time to wait around for you to die. Can we get on with it?" Okay, that's the Pastor Jeremy translation. I'm helping you get it this morning. So he was like, I want what's coming to me now. And his dad actually, you know, honors this unbelievable request when he should have just totally disowned him. I can tell you, if my kids came to me with that request, disowned immediately. Verse 13, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So he reveals his motives, okay? He takes his assets, he realizes his assets, he gets them all together, and he decides to go out and blow this money, live in the way he wanted to live. He wanted freedom. He wanted to be out from underneath his father's authority. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So this young guy had all this money. He was partying. I'm sure he had a lot of friends and girlfriends and everybody around him when he had money. But when the money ran out, he lost everything. He lost everybody. He found himself rock bottom feeding pigs. Here's Jesus, Jewish rabbi, telling a story to Jews about a guy feeding pigs. This is not kosher. This is not good. You're not even supposed to touch pigs, much less feed them. And he wishes he could eat what the pigs are slopping on, and he can't even have that. There's a clause in his contract from his employer that says you can't even eat the food that you're feeding the pigs. Talk about rock bottom. Verse 17. These are the two verses I want to focus in on today. Listen to these words. When he came to his senses, everybody say that. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And then verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. These are the two verses we want to look at today, verses 17 and 18, these two phrases. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, and then verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father. Because we're talking about what happens when we come to that point of regret, when we come to that turning point in our lives, when we come to that place where we wish we could hit the reset button, where we wish we could rewind our lives and start over again. What do we do in that moment? Look at verse 17 again, okay? Here's the lost son. He's run away. He's blown his money. He's in trouble. He's feeding the pigs. And then verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. So he wakes up. He wakes up. He comes to this point where he realizes, look, even the servants who work for my dad back home aren't starving like me. This is crazy. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? He experienced this sense of awakening. It's like a wake-up call. So first of all, he has this sense of longing that there's got to be more, right? That's where we started last week. He's living his life and kind of doing the same thing every day, and he has this longing in his heart that there's got to be more out there. And so he goes to his dad, and he gets his share of the inheritance, and he goes out and he blows the money on wild and riotous living, crazy living. And so he had this awakening to this sense of longing, and he thought he was going to find fulfillment. He thought he was going to find purpose. He thought he was going to find all of these wonderful things out there, somewhere out there. But he ends up rock bottom, starving, broke, with nothing, feeding the pigs. He's come to this place of regret. And see, there's a turn in the story. This is the turn in the story. When he wakes up and comes to his senses, however long he was gone, whatever he did, he finally woke up. And my question is, have you been there before? Have you been there before? Have you ever come to the point that you realized you were headed in the wrong direction and you needed to make a change? You needed to make a change in your life. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was your career. Maybe it was the way you were living, the way you were taking care of yourself. Have you ever gotten to that point where you looked at a certain area of your life, or you looked at the whole direction of your life, or you looked at your marriage, your relationships around you, and you said, something has got to change. I can't keep living like this. I don't know if any of you remember the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Steve Martin and John Candy. Good movie from the late 80s. And in the movie, Steve Martin and John Candy are on this disastrous trip home for Thanksgiving, right? All these kind of crazy things happen. And there's one scene where late at night they're driving and they're actually headed in the wrong direction. Do you remember this scene? And there's a family that pulls up alongside of them and is trying to get their attention. Hey, you're going in the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way. And of course, it's John Candy and Steve Martin. So the way they play it is so funny. At first, they think they want to race, you know, and they're like honking horns at them. And then they keep mouthing to them, you know, you're going the wrong way. And Steve Martin's like, I think they're telling us we're going the wrong way. And John Candy's like, oh, no, they're just a bunch of drunks, you know? And he's like waving at them, doing this kind of drunk thing out the window. And they don't realize that they're headed into two semis that are coming directly at them, right? And these people are like, you are going to kill someone. Turn around. And they're just like laughing it off. And so finally they look up and their car goes right between two 18-wheelers. They come flying and like sparks are flying as it grazes the side of the car. And the scene ends with like their fingers are like dug into the dashboard. So it's this hilarious scene. But you know, the truth is sometimes we can be like John Candy and Steve Martin in that movie. Sometimes people around us are trying to get our attention. Sometimes our family and our friends are saying, hey, you need to be careful. Hey, you're headed the wrong way. Hey, you can't keep living like this. Hey, you need to be careful about this relationship. This area of your life has gotten out of control. And sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to hear it until we get to that point where we stop and we look around. And sometimes we realize that we've hurt people that we love. We recognize the trail of destruction that's all around us. And we come to our senses. We have that wake up moment. I can't keep going like this. I can't keep living this way. We have this overwhelming sense of regret that we got to this point that we got to. Have you been there before? And it's at that point that we have to wake up. I want to show you a few minutes of a video clip from a guy named Jake. We saw a little bit of his story last week, and this is his story of how he came to a point of waking up in his life. So go ahead, guys. You know, coming to our senses and acknowledging that the decisions that we've made have taken us to a place we never thought we would end up. That's the first awakening we have to have as we're talking about how to respond to regret. The first place we have to come to is we look at our lives and we have an honest look inside of ourselves. An honest look at our lives and we wake up to the fact that our decisions have brought us to a place that's not sustainable. The author Richard Rohr writes this, "You cannot heal what you do not acknowledge. And what you do not consciously acknowledge will remain in control of you from within, festering and destroying you and those around you." So maybe it's time for you to be really honest with yourself. Maybe it's time for you to wake up like the lost son, like Jake in this story. Maybe it's time for you to acknowledge that your life or some aspect of your life, some part of your life has been headed in a direction that's not where you want to go. Things are not in order. Things are not as they should be. And what I want to say today is it's time for you to come home. It's time for the rumspringa to be over with. It's time for you to come to that place of awakening and realizing I can't keep going this way. That's the first part. Here's the second part. The second part is verse 18. Look at it with me. In verse 17, the lost son comes to his senses. But then something else happens in verse 18. He says this, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." I want us to look at the first part of verse 18. See, in verse 17, he comes to his senses. He realizes, I can't keep living this way. I cannot keep going in this direction. He has this overwhelming sense of regret. But he doesn't stop there. He does something about it. And in verse 18, he says, I'm going back to my father. Now, he doesn't think he can go back as a son. He thinks if I can just go back as a servant, maybe he'll accept me. We'll talk about that in weeks to come. But the important thing is he came to this second realization that I have to go back home. I can't stay where I'm at. I've got to go back. And so what happens here when the son decides to go back to his father, this is really representative of what we would call repentance. And have you heard that word before? You're familiar with that word, repentance? You know, repentance kind of gets a negative connotation. When people think of repentance, I think sometimes they think about having to go do a bunch of Hail Marys or something like that. Or, you know, a street preacher standing on the sidewalk with a sign saying, turn or burn, repent, you know, God's wrath is coming. We kind of have these negative images, but that's not really the biblical picture of repentance. Repentance is actually a blessing. It's a good thing. In fact, I want to show you two words in the Bible that are used and translated to mean repent. Two words. The word in the Greek, the New Testament, is the word metanoia. I'm not going to bore you this morning with some word study, okay? This is going to help you get the concept, I promise you, okay? Metanoia is the Greek word for repent, and we find it throughout the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, is the word teshuvah. Those are the two words that are translated repent in the Bible. Now, let me show you the meanings of these two words. We're going to have them on the screen. Metanoia means to change one's mind. If you put those two parts of that word together, noia is mind, meta is change. Metanoia literally means to change your mind. This is the part where the lost son came to the place where he realized, what am I doing? This is crazy. This is stupid. I can't keep living like this. I can't keep doing this. That's the changing of the mind. That's the repentance where we have to allow God to change our mindset, where we wake up, where we come to our senses. But then there's the second part. I love this. In the Hebrew, teshuva means to return. To return. To come back to this place of health. To come back to this place of wholeness. To come back to this place of relationship with God. What a beautiful picture. So there's two things that happen here. There's this acknowledging our sinfulness. There's this acknowledging our regret. There's this acknowledging of our brokenness and all of the decisions that got us to this point. But then there's the return part. There's this place where we come to the revelation that I have to return. I have to get back somewhere to a place of wholeness. So repentance means to change your mind, but it also means to return. Turn from where you came. And Jesus told this story. When he told the story, he says that the son finally came to his senses and he decided to return to his father. Now see, maybe this is where I'm going with this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've come to your senses. Maybe you even look back at a time in life where you've made some changes in your life. You've made some healthy decisions. Your life was headed down a certain path and you made a decision. You came to the point where you recognized this was no longer good for you. But my question is, have you come to the place of repentance in which you go back home to God, in which you come back to a relationship with God? The two work together. The two work together to bring us back to a relationship with God. And, you know, sometimes when we come to the point of change, we want to start over. We want to press the reset button. We want a redo. But shame and guilt and a healthy dose of fear stands in the way. And so we start asking ourselves questions like, what would they think of me? What will my family and friends think if I admit that I have this problem? And will they take me in? And will God forgive me? And will people accept me? And sometimes these questions stand in our way. Sometimes these questions run through our heads. And instead of returning home, we get into this never-ending sorry cycle. The cycle of longing and regret. It's this repetitive cycle that we get caught in at times where we pursue these longings that are in our hearts. We pursue relationships and we pursue our career and we pursue making money and we pursue all of these different things, maybe seeking pleasure, seeking thrills in all of these different ways. We go after these longings and then we hit these dead ends. We come to this place where we regret the choices that we made. We regret that we went down this path. We regret that we got into this relationship with this person. Come on, have you ever regretted a certain relationship you got into with a certain person? All right, nobody's raising their hands. I'm going to have to pray for you, preach a message on lying this morning, right? Come on, there's some regrets that you have, right? And so maybe it was maxing out a credit card right out of college. They shouldn't have gave you a credit card right out of college. That was not good for you. And you're still dealing with that. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to this place of regret, but here's the problem. Here's how the sorry cycle works. You got to the place of regret and you changed your mind. You recognized you couldn't keep going down that path, but then you just went back and found something else to pursue, and you found yourself going down another dead-end road. And the whole point of the message today is this idea of repentance is we don't just recognize the mistakes we've made. We don't just recognize the dead-end path that we've taken, but we come to this place where we say, I am going to return. I am going to return back to a place of health, of wholeness, of goodness. Do you remember that place? Maybe it's been since you were a child, since you were a young person, since you felt that place. And here's what we believe as a church. This is it. This is the deal. We believe that is found in a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. We believe that's where we find the fulfillment of that longing. That's how we break out of those cycles. You ever known somebody, they're just always looking for the next thing? You ever had a friend like that? They're just always reinventing themselves. Every time you see them, they got a different look, driving a different car, got a different boyfriend or a different girlfriend. They're doing a different job. You know people like that? They're just looking for something. They're trying to find themselves. Either that or they got multiple personality disorder and they need medication. But they're stuck in that cycle. They're stuck in that cycle of brokenness. And so here's what we want to say to you today. All of that can change today. All of that can change. And it changes when you find your ultimate significance and your purpose and your meaning in a relationship with God. When you get off the wheel, when you quit running on that same hamster wheel of longing and regret and chasing the same old things. And you come to this place of a relationship with God who can satisfy those longings, because there are some healthy ways to satisfy those things that we long for. And we find those in a relationship with God, who is the creator, the author. He wrote the book. He wrote the manual for our lives. And so we go to him to find those longings fulfilled. Today we're talking about putting a stake in the ground. We're talking about putting a stake in the ground. I hope for some of you, my prayer for some of you today is that you'll be able to put this date down in your journal, in your diary, somewhere, and you can say, I put a stake in the ground this day, and I recognize I was stuck in that cycle, and it's time to break that and get out of that. It's time to find meaning. It's time to find purpose. It's time to find my way back to God. I don't want to just live with regret. I don't want to just live wanting to erase my mistakes and rewind my life. No, I want to live my life forward. Come on, how many of you want to move forward? Move forward in health and in strength and in wholeness. That's what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about finding our way back to God. Last week we invited everyone to go on a journey with us for the next few weeks and to begin that journey by making a bet on God. It's a very simple bet. We actually talked about Pascal's wager, the famous thinker and theologian and Christian philosopher Blaise Pascal from the 18th century. He used to make this wager with his friends. He would challenge them to make a bet on God, his intellectual friends, and he would say, make a bet on God that God is real, and if he's real, you gain everything. If it turns out that God's not real, then you've lost nothing. And so we kind of issued this challenge to everybody last week. Make a bet on God. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know what your spiritual background is. I don't know what you believe. Maybe you're here today and you're just not even sure. You're just checking it out. You can't believe you're sitting in a movie theater with this crazy church. You're not quite sure what it's all about. But we're asking you to go on this journey with us for the next few weeks. If you haven't gotten a copy of the book, get a copy of the book today. We only have a few left for our first-time guests, but you can get a copy of the book, Finding Your Way Back to God, on Amazon. In the back of the book, there's a journal, a 30-day journal. It invites you to take 30 days. What's 30 days of your life to explore? What would it mean to have a relationship with God? And we started last week by challenging everybody to pray a very simple prayer. Do you remember it? God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. You know, it doesn't matter whether you don't know what you believe or you consider yourself a committed Christian. How many of you know we all need God to be more real in our lives? How many of you need God to be more real in your home, in your marriage, in your work, in your circumstances, in your situations? My hand's up. I need God to be more real. I can pray that prayer. But we're going to add on to that prayer, and I want the worship team to come back up. We're going to add on to that prayer today, and this is the prayer we're going to pray. I want you to pray this prayer with me. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the possibility that with you I could start over again. And guys, if you'll hold for just a minute, because we're going to watch the rest of Jake's testimony in just a moment. Would you whisper that prayer with me? It should be on the screen today. God, if you're real, just whisper it under your breath. God, if you're real, just bow your head for a moment. Close your eyes. This is your moment just alone with God. Just to examine where you are right now spiritually. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the possibility that with you, I could start over again. I could start over again. I want us to watch the rest of Jake's story of how he found his way back to God. You know, like Jake, you don't have to live in the sorry cycle anymore. Jesus told the story of the lost son. And you know why that story has connected with people for generations and still speaks to us in such a powerful way today? I'm going to tell you what, it's a parable that continues to speak to me. And here's why. Because the story of the lost son, it's all of our story. How many of you know that's true? It's every one of us. No matter where you are today in your walk of faith, not sure what you believe to those who have been in church for years, every one of us, it's our story. Because see, we never run out of a need for God's grace in our lives. We never run out of a need to go back home to our Father who receives us. And I want to tell you today, you don't have to stay in that same place of regret. If you look inside of your heart today, you look at your life, maybe there's some areas of your life or you're honest today and you say, I wish I could change that. I wish I could change this. I wish I could get a redo here, there. But guys, let's not stay there. As we look at those areas, let's find ourselves coming back home to God and saying, God, I give my life to you. God, I give these areas to you. Would you awaken in me the belief that I could somehow come back home to you and you would receive me? Today, I want to end the message by reading to you a retelling of the story by one of my favorite authors, Phil Yancey. He told a modern day version of the story of the lost son in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace. And I want to share that with you today. And as I read the words of this song to you today, I want you to listen for the voice of God as he whispers into our hearts and into our lives today, come back home. Her name was Krista, and she grew up on a small cherry farm in Traverse City, Michigan. She was a wild child who dismissed her parents as old-fashioned because of how they responded to her piercings and tattoos. One night, Krista and her parents had a huge fight. At the end of it, she slammed the door and said, I hate you, and then acted on a plan she had been rehearsing for months in her mind. She ran away to the big city of Detroit. Within a few hours of arriving in Detroit, she met a man who seemed warm and nice. He drove the most expensive car she'd ever seen, and he was willing to take her in. This nice man taught her a few things that would make her valuable on the streets. And because Krista was young, she brought in top dollar for her services. As time went on, and as she got a little older, she wasn't bringing in top dollar anymore, and so she was thrown out on the street with no money and a drug habit to support. One night, she thought back to those sunny spring days when she would be lying beneath the cherry trees. Realizing that renting her body on the streets of Detroit was no way to live, she decided she would head north, maybe move to Canada and start over. On her way north, she figured she'd try something that she thought really had no chance of actually working. She mustered up enough courage to give her parents a call. No one answered, but she left a message telling them she was going to be passing through Traverse City on her way to Canada. If they wanted to see her, she would be at the bus station around midnight. After hanging up, she thought leaving the message was a stupid thing to do because odds were they were happier now that she was gone. As the bus headed north, she could see the signs saying the bus was getting closer to Traverse City. She ran through the possible scenarios in her mind. Nobody there to meet her. Someone there, but only to shame her, condemn her. Finally, the bus arrived in Traverse City, and she heard the bus driver say, 15 minutes at this stop, 15 minutes. All her mental rehearsing didn't prepare her for what she found when she stepped off the bus. At midnight in the small town bus depot, she found dozens of familiar faces belonging to aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandparents, all wearing silly party hats. A huge banner hanging from the wall said, Welcome home, Krista. Her dad broke through the crowd and ran up to her as she tried to explain herself. He wrapped his arms around her, making it clear that all he really cared about was that his daughter was home. That story captures something so beautiful about the gospel, and that is it's never late, never too late to come back home. It's never too late to come back home, and that's our prayer today is, God, we want to come back home to you. God, we want to find purpose and meaning in your arms. Here's what I want to tell you today. It's time for the sorry cycle to break in your life and get a vision for what your life could look like if you could get out of the same old ruts, if you could quit chasing the same old dead ends, the same old things that lead to brokenness. What would your life look like? What would it look like for your relationships, for your health, for your peace of mind to find that your home, your satisfaction, your longing, your purpose, and your meaning is ultimately found in a relationship with God? Because I'm telling you, what he's saying to you today is come back home. The Bible is a story. It's an invitation that God issues to us to say, come back home. Come back into a relationship with me. I want to pray with you this morning. If you would stand with us. And here's what I want to tell you today. The beauty of the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is that in your worst moment, God accepts you. Come on, aren't you thankful for that this morning? In your worst moment, in your brokenness, in your failures, no matter what your mistakes are, no matter what your past is, no matter what your story is, the truth is, in our greatest moments of brokenness, our greatest moments of weakness, in those times in life when we've crashed and we've burned, those are the times that God accepts us the most. The scripture says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And here's what I want to tell you today, no matter where you are, no matter what your story is, I want to tell you that God loves you and he receives you and he's inviting you today, come back home. Come back home. As we pray for you this morning, there's two things I really want our prayer to reflect. The first one is that God would help us to break that same old cycle of chasing after all of these things that we're tempted to chase after, only to find regret and start all over again. Our prayer today is, God, break us out of that cycle today. God, break us out of that cycle, and may we find ourselves coming back to you. This isn't something you do one time. This is something you do over and over again. It doesn't matter whether you're just coming to faith or whether you've been a Christian. You have to know that God is the source of your life. God is the source of your meaning. God is the source of your purpose, and you have to come back to that. And here's the second thing. I want to pray for you today that you would be open to the idea that you can come back home to God. No matter where you are, in that place on your journey, maybe exploring faith, I want to pray for you. Would you be open to the idea that somehow I could have a relationship with God? Maybe you're a Christian today and you've been struggling with guilt and you've been feeling condemnation and you've had this habit or this area of brokenness or this thing that's there and you know exactly what it is and you feel like it's standing in the way between you and your relationship with God. And here's what I'm going to tell you. God's grace and his love and his mercy is so much bigger than that thing, and he's calling you. His arms are open and he's saying, just come back to me. Just come back to me. Don't let that thing stop you anymore. I receive you by my grace, and is inviting us to come back today. Would you pray with me this morning? Would you just bow your head for a moment as we close in prayer? And would you just echo this prayer in your heart, those two areas we talked about, breaking out of that cycle of regret, and the other prayer of, God, help me to believe that you could actually receive me home and give me the strength to come back to you. We're going to pray that together this morning. So Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the beautiful story that you told, the greatest story the world has ever seen of grace. And God, I thank you that today you've got enough grace for every one of us in this place. God, you've got us covered. And God, I thank you that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter what relationships we've been in, no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter how many credit cards we've maxed out, no matter how many opportunities we've blown and messed up, God, there's nothing that we can do to make you love us any less. And God, there's nothing that we can do to make you love us any more. Because God, when you look at us, you see us as sons and daughters, and your arms are always open to us, God. And we're asking you today, God, to break us out of the same cycles, God. Break us out of the same unhealthy cycles that we've lived in, the cycles of abuse and brokenness, the cycles that ultimately lead us to a place of being unfulfilled and regret. But God, bring us into a new place, God, into a place where we not only wake up and come to our senses from our mistake, but we come back to you and we find our home with you. We find a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we find love, and we find grace, and we find significance and purpose and meaning and health and wholeness in a way that we've never known it before. God, bring us back home. Come on, would you whisper that prayer? Would you make that your prayer today? God, bring us back home to you. And God, I pray for every person in this place today, no matter where they are in their spiritual journey. God, would you awaken in us, as we prayed earlier, would you awaken in us the belief that we could find our way back home to you, God? Would you help us to believe that, God, you can welcome us with open doors and open arms and receive us into relationship? Maybe you need to pray that today as a declaration of faith. I believe it's an important step. Doesn't mean you have to pray it out loud. Our heads are bowed. It's our moment alone with God. Maybe you just need to whisper that. God, I want to come back home to you. Come on, it's the first step. God, I want to come back home to you. I want to come back home to you. Maybe you're a believer in this place today. You felt so far. You felt so far away, like you've drifted. But God, I'm ready to come back home to you, God. My home is with you. My place is with you. And now, Father, I pray for every person in this place today. I pray for every person in this place today that the overwhelming sense of your grace and your love would erase every doubt, every fear, every guilt, every condemnation, every thought that would say, I'm not good enough. Every thought that would say, I can't do this. Every thought that would say, what will people think of me if I admit I have this problem? Every thought that would say, I could never confess this to somebody else. God, may it be obliterated. May it be overcome by a sense of your love and your acceptance and your grace and your goodness over our lives. And we thank you for today in Jesus' name.